Now, before we go into this main question of the evening, we'll briefly consider one or two preliminary questions, because these are not only connected with the main question, but they are also of some importance in themselves. First of all, there's the whole question of choice, selection itself. Should we be free to choose at all? Should we be free to choose our own religion for ourselves? Some people think not. The choice is to be made by some other authority, not by ourselves. And some even say that we shouldn't think in terms of choice at all. We should simply follow that religion into which we happen to have been born. If we're born in a Christian country, follow Christianity. In a Buddhist country, follow Buddhism. In a Hindu country, follow Hinduism. In a Confucian or Taoist country, we'll follow those religions. That's one school of thought, or one tendency of thought, that one shouldn't try to make one's own individual free choice, but that one should simply follow the religion nearest to hand, the one into which, as it were, one has happened to be born. Now, this particular view, as I can testify from my own experience, is very strong indeed in India. In India, one will hear this sort of idea expressed all the time. I myself have been asked by Hindus why, having been born into a Christian family, I abandoned Christianity and took to Buddhism. So when I try to explain the reasons, Hindu friends have told me, but that doesn't matter. You should have stuck to Christianity. After all, you were born into that, as though that's the last word on the subject. So this idea is very strong in India among Hindus. And it's strong, of course, because it's connected, it's linked with the caste system. The word which we usually translate when speaking about Buddhism or speaking about Hinduism as religion in the original Indian languages is, of course, dharma. Now, in each of the systems, in each of the teachings which have sprung up on the soil of India, the word dharma has a slightly different connotation. What it means for Buddhism, we know already, or we should know, at least to some extent. But so far as Hinduism is concerned, it's got a rather different connotation from what it has in Buddhism. In Hinduism, as you know, there is a sort of socio-religious tradition which we call the caste system. It's a very complex question. There's no time to go into it in detail. But broadly speaking, we can say that there are four main castes. Actually, in modern India, there are about 2,000 separate castes. But theoretically, at least, they can all be classified under the four. And the four are, starting from the top, the caste of the Brahmins, the priests and teachers. Though nowadays often you find they're doing very different kinds of work. Then secondly, the Kshatriyas, the landowners and rulers and warriors. Thirdly, the Vaishyas, that is the shopkeepers and traders and merchants, sometimes peasants. And fourthly, the Shudras, or the labourers, the menials, the servants, the coolies. The outcasts, including the untouchables, about whom I've spoken on other occasions, they come outside the system altogether. The lower than the low, as it were. Now, the Hindus have the view that appropriate to the caste to which you long, or the caste to which you belong, there is a particular kind of duty or religion. So they speak of dharma in terms of those customs, those practices, those duties appropriate to the caste into which you happen to have been born. For instance, the dharma of the Brahmin is to teach. The dharma of the kshatriya is to fight. The dharma of the trader, the vaishya, is to make money. And the dharma of the shudra is to serve the other three castes. And Hindus hold that it is a sin to depart from the dharma of the particular caste into which you happen to have been born. Orthodox Hindus, for instance, hold that the Buddha committed a great sin inasmuch as having been born into a kshatriya family, that is a warrior family, instead of devoting himself to fighting, he took up the dharma of the Brahmin and actually had the temerity to teach religion. Right? So, in this way, the orthodox Hindu view is that a person should confine himself to the practice of the Dharma appropriate to the caste into which he happens to have been born. And this idea is very deep-rooted. And that's why they tend to think if you're born as a Christian, you should remain a Christian. Born as a Buddhist, you should remain a Buddhist. That's the sort of idea they had. In this connection, I remember a rather amusing story from South India, which shows how deeply rooted this sort of idea goes. Now, the story relates to an old woman in South India. And this old woman apparently had been converted to Christianity. There are many Christian missions in South India, and quite a number of Christians of various churches. So apparently the old woman had been converted by one of these churches, I think it was the Methodist or the Baptist or something of that sort. So what happened? After some months, Christmas came round. So the padre, the missionary, said to all his converts, on Christmas Day, you have to come to church. There won't only be a service, there will be a big feast for all of you. So come to church, after that we shall have the feast. So they all came. And amongst others, the old woman also came along. So she sat through the service very happily. And afterwards, when the padre, when the missionary looked round, he found that she wasn't there at the feast. So he went searching for her, so he found her separately by herself. So he said, why aren't you joining in the feast? She said, I'm not going to sit there with all those low-caste people. So he said, look here, you're a Christian. You embrace Christianity. You're following the Christian religion now. So how is it that you refuse to sit with these other Christians? They might have been low-caste people. What is it then? She said, yes, it's true. I might have become a Christian. That's very true. I have become a Christian. But that doesn't mean I've given up my Dharma. So in this way the word Dharma is used colloquially in India, even today, to signify, to mean these various practices, observances of untouchability and so on and so forth, appropriate to the caste to which one belongs. Now sometimes this happens, I need hardly tell you, that the religion into which one is born doesn't suit one. The son is not necessarily the same height, the same build as the father. And the father's suits don't necessarily fit the son. So it's just the same with religion. Your father, your mother might have been Christians, or they might have been Buddhists, or they might have been Hindus, they might have been anything. But their religion does not necessarily suit you. Very often it may. But on a number of occasions, a number of cases, it may not fit at all. One may not have any sympathy, for this or that reason, with the religion into which one has been born. So what are such people to do? Supposing we do find ourselves in this situation. We've been born as a Christian, or born as a Buddhist, or born as anything else, but we find that the ancestral religion doesn't suit us. Well, obviously, we should be free to choose some other teaching.